What's your first name?
My name is Roberto.
Roberto, you're a student.
Yes, I am a student.
And a photographer. Do you shoot digitally or analog?
I shoot both, actually, but right now I'm shooting analog.
Do you like that? Do you prefer it to digital?
I believe it has a much more organic feel. I feel like it's much more personal. Like, the picture comes out how you want it to. Digital kind of does it all for you, and sometimes it doesn't really come out how you want it to. You can correct that with analog.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
I see you got a longboard here.
Yes.
Is that what it's called, the skateboard?
Yes, I've been longboarding for a very long time. Yes, it's a longboard.
What's the advantage of a longboard?
Well, first of all, it's much more smoother. It's much easier to ride. The ride is much easier on your knees and your ankles.
How long have you been skateboarding?
I've been skating for 12 years of my life. Yeah, I've been skating forever.
Do you like the X Games stuff like that, the trick skating?
I like it a bit, but I'm more into the longboarding scene and the big... The X Game equivalent in longboarding scene is downhill racing, and it's very fast. Very, very exciting.
What about world affairs, things like that? Ebola, are you worried about it?
Nah, I'm not worried about it at all. People are freaking out a lot, but you really have to go out of your way to be even remotely close to catching it.
Are any of your friends worried about it?
Not that I know of, but if they were, they probably wouldn't be my friends.
Do you listen to the news, or are you just at an age where you just don't pay much attention to it?
It's not that I do not listen to the news. I love the news, but a lot of it is misinformation and hype. The news is starting to look like Facebook. It's a lot of cluttering nonsense, you know what I mean, as opposed to the actual news you want to hear. It's quite horrible.
Do you like the president?
He's pretty good. I like him.
Will you vote in the upcoming midterms?
Yes, I will vote.
Do you feel like your fellow students will, or are a lot of them just ignore it?
A lot of them ignore it. You know, it's the same youth that say, you know, oh, the vote doesn't count and all this nonsense, but it does count. It adds up.
What's your biggest concern facing you today, the biggest problem that you face?
My Puerto Rican girlfriend.
What's going on?
She's a mess. Puerto Ricans are crazy. I love her to death, but she's a handful.
Just dysfunctional or what?
Yeah, they're very dysfunctional. I would say very unique people to deal with. Yeah, they're very emotional. They're very open with what they're feeling. They're very expressive. There you go.
So. What's your ethnicity?
I am Dominican.
How would you characterize the Dominicans?
The stereotype of Dominicans is we're smooth talkers and we're just Casanovas that want to get all the girls, but I'm not like that.
How about Dominicans and Haitians? Do they get along?
Wow, you'd be surprised. In the Dominican Republic, Dominican and Haitians is pretty much what white people and black people are, multiplied probably by like 3.
Oh, do you know her?
No.
What did you want?
I just wanted to, can I touch your board?
Yeah, definitely.
She wants to touch his longboard.
If you let me take a picture of you after I'm done.
What do you want to say to everybody in our radio audience?
I always say question everything. I'm not saying be a paranoid freak that just thinks there's conspiracies about everything. I'm just saying, you know, double check facts, because a lot of people like to pass things off as facts when they're actually just opinions.
Are you optimistic about the future?
I am optimistic about the future, yes.
You love America?
I love America, yes.
How come?
It is a great free country. It's a very great democracy. You know, it's good that you can speak what you want without having to worry about anyone censoring what you're saying. It's the land of opportunities, you know what I mean? It's a place where you can make money doing anything.
Thanks for your time, man.
No problem.
What's your first name?
Craig.
And yeah, I said WFMU, and then it was okay to interview.
Yeah,
you know WFMU?
I do.
Do you listen, or you used
all the
to
time.
Listen? You do. Who do you listen to?
Well, my friend drives around, and we listen to it.
But no specific show?
No. What's your name?
My name's Clay Pigeon.
I love that show.
The Dusty
really
Show. you're kidding me, right? You've never heard.
Sorry.
Are you worried about Ebola?
Yeah.
Honestly, you are.
I'm a human being. We all have to die sometime, right?
I appreciate your honesty. Do you feel like there's a chance that it will spread in the United States?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's what it does.
You think they're smoothing it over for us right now and not telling us the truth? I'm really not a conspiracy type theory guy myself. But
okay. You're standing really close to me.
And Mike, it's just because I have to...
I know.
Did I violate your perimeter?
Yeah. That's going to become a big thing soon.
Oh, with Ebola?
Oh, yeah.
Are you really worried about it, or are you just pulling my chain?
I read a book 11 years ago by Douglas Preston called The Hot Zone. I recommend you guys check that out. I mean, he detailed how the disease works, how it spreads. So I'm not just some dummy who's reading the paper saying, oh, here's the next big thing. You know, I read one book, so therefore I'm kind of an expert. It's pretty easy with globalization and travel being as common as it is for it to jump over here.
What about the president? Are you pleased with the job he's done?
Sorry, I do have to run.
You what?
I do have to run, I'm sorry. I thought this was going to be like a 10-second type of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean to take your time.
Okay, I'm just trying to get somewhere. So.
That's okay. Have a good night.
Okay.
Here's my card.
Great. Thank you.
Take care. That was Craig we just heard from. He wrote me. He said, I mentioned that I had read a book by Douglas Preston called The Hot Zone. The actual author is Richard Preston's The Hot Zone. Thanks for clarifying, Craig. It's good to have all of you out there on the Dusty Show. Stay with me now.
Thomas Eric Duncan, the first person to be diagnosed with Ebola in the United States, has died. Mr. Duncan passed away in the isolation unit at the Dallas Hospital, where he was undergoing treatment.
There was already a high level of anxiety among many Americans, and the death in Texas only fans the Ebola fears.
What's your first name?
Ariella.
Ariella, you recognized me.
Yes, I'm a fan.
You know, that really doesn't happen very often.
Well, I have very refined and esoteric tastes.
Do you listen to a lot of shows on FMU?
I'm a big FMU fan, definitely.
Can you name any of them, or is it hard to do on the spot?
No, I can name tons of them. The Frau Show, shout out to Jesse. Kurt's Show, Miniature Minotaurs.
Kurt Gottschalk.
Brian Turner's show is great.
Fabio,
for sure. Does Bryce still have his show?
Sure.
Okay, I was always a big fan of Raga Fridays. That, to me, Raga is synonymous with Fridays now because of Bryce.
Are you a journalist yourself?
Aspiring, I would say. I try
but
when I can.
But you're politically active. We had a little pre-conversation
yes.
here, and you told me you're kind of involved in some get-out-the-vote activity.
Yeah, so I'm involved with an organization called Headcount, started by a friend of mine, and they are a get-out-the-vote nonprofit. Headcount is all about like going to shows and going to places where people are seeing music and registering people there.
What is it about the midterms where the Democrats just don't get out and vote?
I don't know. Is it complacency, would you say? Or what do you think?
They do really well in presidential elections, but characteristically don't show up for the midterms, which are like a month away.
Yeah.
And it's really important this time around.
I've always been very tuned into the election because my birthday is traditionally when a lot of elections are. November 3rd is my birthday, so.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
How old will you
plug
be?
For my
I'm
birthday.
Old. I can ask you.
34.
How does that feel? I had a 29-year-old last week who said, I can't wait to be 34.
I don't know. I mean, I try not to dwell on it. In some ways, it's nice. You feel like you get a certain privilege as you get older. Like, I can throw my weight around more because maybe...
Have a little more authority.
I have a little bit more authority, more gravitas.
Experience.
I also feel young.
Are you worried about the future of the country?
I am. I also am worried about the future of the city. There was an interview. I gave a shout out to Jesse before. He did an interview with Hamish Kilgour, which one of the things that stuck with me is Hamish talked about how it's becoming impossible to get on in the city unless you have some kind of corporate job, and that struck a chord with me.
Do you engage in a lot of political arguments with people on the right?
I was in a meeting, and it was me and two other white males there, and one of them started talking about how he had been a victim of racism, and I bristled from this, and I said, you know, you don't get to claim racism as a white man, and And they were like, well, sure I do. Anybody can be a victim of racism. And then the other white guy there, he chimed in and he said, yes, I too have been a victim of racism. And they recounted their stories about how basically their feelings had been hurt by like a group of black kids or something like that, he was a homeowner and he yelled at a group of black kids to get off his property, and then they called him whitey. And so as a result, he felt like he was now a victim of racism and that he understood the struggle of racism. And as we went back and forth, we came to an impasse, but I was a little bit demoralized by that. Like, if this guy thought that this is tantamount to racism, then clearly our idea that people think racism has come to an end, or that, you know, that people understand the threat of it. And it made me feel like people really don't understand how rampant it is and what the effect it has on people who truly do suffer from racism.
Do you love America?
Yes, I do.
Why do you still love it with all the trouble going on?
It doesn't seem like it's any better in other places. It seems like it's a lot harder in other places when you hear about the extent of poverty and entrenchment of the class system and racism and corruption. It seems like we have it pretty good here.
What would you tell Obama if he had a moment of his time?
I think that he should stop spending so much money abroad in foreign conflicts and invest it at home where we need it.
What about people who would say, well, then ISIS would just proliferate all over the Middle East and we'd have a bigger problem?
That's something that I definitely think about. Most likely my understanding of the conflict is not sophisticated enough to make prescriptive recommendations like that.
Are you worried about Ebola?
No, I'm not. I was researching how you catch it, and it's not airborne. Like, you have to swallow, or someone's blood has to enter your bloodstream, or you have to basically eat someone's vomit in order to get Ebola.
What's your message to WFMU listeners?
Vomit. 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 Stay strong and stay heady and stay cool and don't sweat the small stuff.
I hope the wind didn't affect that. I need one of those little rabbit fur things.
Yeah.
To go buy one. It was nice talking to you.
It was really nice talking to you.
I'm glad you listened. Is there like a website or something we need to know?
The website of Headcount is headcount.org.
And I encourage you all to visit it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Clay Pigeon with you on The Dusty Show. This is Check Field. I like this. Fabio likes this. New Age. Silent fundraiser. Last time I checked, I had $15. And I'm really grateful for it. And I want to thank Tim in Philadelphia. Thanks, Tim. You guys make a pledge if you can for WFMU. And if by chance you can tie the Dusty Show in somehow, why not? I was waiting to say something else and it just wasn't coming to me. I'm glad you're with me. Overcast, loving it. Check. What's your first name?
Brad.
Brad, you got an e-cigarette. Is that what that is?
Absolutely.
Did you used to smoke the regular ones?
17 years.
Has this helped you at all?
Absolutely.
Now, you say you quit, but you're still taking in the nicotine, right?
Very, very low amounts.
Have you shrunk it down?
Absolutely. I started out at the highest amount, and now I'm at the lowest possible amount you could purchase.
Are you thinking of altogether giving it up?
Absolutely. It's more the oral fixation for me than the nicotine.
I know what you mean. I picked it up and quit, and I can't seem to totally kick it.
Yeah.
I quit as much as 5 years, and it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah,
but I'm a pen chewer. I think you're right. It's that.
It's the oral thing.
You know, we'll just keep fighting it, man. I'm proud of you, though.
Absolutely. Thank you.
How old are you?
39.
You're almost 40 now.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you worried about the world right now?
Not really.
You're not worried about it?
No, I don't think it's any worse than when I grew up. It's just more news.
You think the media just hypes things up more?
Not so much hypes things up as everyone's looking for a breaking news. You turn on the television and everything's breaking news.
You got to fill it up a 24-hour news cycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you generally liberal or conservative?
Just like everybody else, I'm more conservative as I get older.
Do you vote Republican or Democrat?
Historically, I've mostly voted Democrat, but in my 20s, I started to realize there really wasn't a difference, that they run on social issues to mask what their true intentions are.
What are those true intentions?
That both parties are pretty much the same and they want to keep things status quo.
Are they serving the corporations?
Yeah, it's all about the almighty dollar.
Everybody's out to make money.
Yeah, I mean, even in non-capitalist societies, people still wish they had more things. It's a more of a human thing than a capitalist
thing. How do you feel about socialism?
Indifferent. I think, again, you can fill in the blank whatever ism that you could come up with, and people innately want more things.
Did you vote for Obama?
Absolutely.
Do you like the president?
I can't say I like or dislike. Again, it's more of the same. People voted for Obama on a change. They thought something would miraculously happen. The only thing that happened was we had a minority president for the first time, which was awesome. But again, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter.
Did you know when you voted for him that big change probably wasn't going to happen?
Absolutely. The change was more social change than political change.
Will you vote in the midterms?
Most likely, yes. Yeah, I'll do my homework, give someone who at least speaks to something that affects me. But again, I'm pretty much a pessimist when it comes to that. I don't expect them to deliver on many of their promises.
You love America?
Absolutely. I travel the world for both business and personal, and it's the best place to live on the planet.
If you didn't live here, which country would you pick if you had your choice?
It's a fabulous question. Probably...
A lot of people say Scandinavia.
Yeah, I was just... That's actually the word I was looking for. Some type of Scandinavian country. I mean, surveys show and numbers show that they are the happiest
people. I've read that, too.
Yeah, and they
probably... Danes.
The Danes, and they live longer than most people on the planet. But I also hear it's not easy to become a Scandinavian citizen by any means.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm a mixed background. Native American and mixed with African American. And I have Native American on both sides, so I like to tell people I was here first.
Were you born in the States?
Oh, absolutely.
And in New York?
No, I was born in New Jersey.
Where at in New Jersey?
South Jersey, where there's a great tribe called the Nanticoke Lenni Lenape people.
This show airs in Jersey City. That's where the station is.
So awesome.
There's a lot of Jersey listeners.
Yeah, awesome. I lived in the Jersey City area for a few years.
Do you like Jersey?
I love New Jersey.
What do you like about Jersey?
Well, the number one reason, no matter what anyone else tells you, people live in New Jersey because of proximity. If you live in North Jersey, you can be in Manhattan in 20, 30 minutes. You can be in Boston in a number of hours, D.C., Philadelphia, you name it. But it's the proximity.
What about Chris Christie?
Chris Christie ruffled a lot of feathers. But he also ran on the politics that were Republican politics because he had to get elected. But then he kind of went in his own direction, which the party's not very happy with him right now.
You think he didn't know about Fort Lee, about Bridgegate?
Oh, no, he absolutely did. We've seen enough of the exposure of politicians that they would know of such a matter.
You think that will spoil his presidential ambitions?
Between that and his weight?
I heard he's lost 80 pounds.
Yeah, but... To the public, he'll always be an obese person. Generally speaking, not since, and I can't remember the president. We don't elect obese or presidents with facial hair. So, go figure.
Not since Taft.
Yeah, not. Thank you. Taft, absolutely.
Taft the Raft.
Yeah, Taft the Raft, yeah.
Are you worried about Ebola?
More so than probably most Americans because I travel for a living.
You feel more exposed?
I feel a little bit more exposed, but if it's not Ebola, it'll be something else.
Something's coming?
Something's always around. Not coming, but there's always something around the corner. And if you're always thinking about what's around the corner, you live your life in fear. And I refuse to live my life in fear.
Do you ever think it's nature's way of just like...
Culling the herd?
There's just too many of you. I don't like how you're treating me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's been that way since the beginning of time. There's been catastrophic incidents that have wiped out mass populations.
Will anything ever bridge the gap between right and left again?
Not in my lifetime, at least. But I also, if you would have asked me when I was 19, 20 years old, I would have said we would have never seen a black president.
It seems like the one thing that might give us power again is if we could unite.
Or a viable third-party system. They're always going to run on issues that fool the public from what's really going on behind the scenes.
Where's the man or the woman in the white hat that rescues us all? The honest politician who's going to tell it like it is.
Let's say a majority of politicians start out their careers that way. They're idealistic. They have things that they'd like to change. And then when they get there, they realize, like the rest of us, that there is a political system that they have to abide by if they want to get anything done.
Does Washington itself corrupt, do you think, politicians?
Yeah, it's Washington, it's the system. The system is rigged to have people go in a certain direction and cater to corporate needs.
What's your message to our listeners in Jersey and New York and around the world on WFMU?
Live life and smile as much as you can, and nothing else matters.
And quit smoking.
Yeah, and quit smoking, absolutely.
You got a good attitude. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
I'll give you a card.
Douglas Trowbridge. From a Meadowlark compilation, Meadowlark Sampler, 1985. The Farewell, played 1,000 times. Last week I said that the song Voices that I played by Cheap Trick was written by Daryl Hall. What was I thinking? I have to retract. Rick Nielsen wrote that song. Hall & Oates had an album called Voices. And Farewell to Paul Revere from Paul Revere and the Raiders. What's your first name?
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Are you worried about Ebola?
No.
How come? You feel like it won't spread?
It can spread, absolutely. It has the potential of being a very, very potent and dangerous disease, right? But as far as Ebola in the States, through all the avenues and channels we have here.
You have faith in the health system and the CDC?
No, I don't have any. I don't have any faith in them. I just have faith that they don't want it to spread to them. And when I say them, I mean the people that control the CDC and the people that control the government and places like that.
So it's a kind of self-preservation.
Absolutely.
I never thought about that.
They don't care about, obviously, you know, classes. I'm not even talking about black or white classes. There's a certain class that, obviously, they don't care about. They're a forgotten class. And I'm not even going to say middle class. I mean,
is that us now? I was going to say.
Yeah, it's everyone except for the elite. But guess what? The elite, unless they have some type of vaccine.
Ebola doesn't care.
Ebola doesn't care.
Yeah.
So
you always see that in the news, that virus they like to show.
Yeah, the strain.
Do they like to scare us?
Of course. They control off of fear.
Keeps us tuning in and clicking on.
Well, not so much even tuning in. I mean, the news cycle is going to be the news cycle. Ebola will be out of news cycle in about 2 weeks.
It's true, isn't it? Because these big things happen, Michael Brown in Ferguson, and you think, oh, this is... And it's gone.
And nothing sticks. It's too much going on. We have too much technology. You look around, you see everyone on their smartphones and everyone
and
on their iPads
recorders.
And everything.
Yeah.
So our attention span is like this, so they can't have a news cycle that's not like this. Because, again, like you say, I mean, they want you watching, so they need something fresh.
What about the computer? Is it a negative thing in the long run? Or did we open Pandora's box with it?
With the computer? No. I'm a technologist, by the way. This is what I deal with, a flip phone. I don't need to be connected all the time, because the more that you stay connected here, you're not connected here.
Are you on Facebook?
No. I don't do Facebook, Twitter. I don't Instagram. What am I going to Instagram?
I bet there's a lot of people who can't imagine not being on those.
Absolutely.
Like they would feel withdrawal symptoms.
Right. I mean, but they have a bunch of friends, but are friendless. I can be alone, but I'm never lonely. People don't look into themselves enough anymore. And when they do, they don't like what they see. So what they do is they look online and they do all those things. So I don't think it's Pandora's box. I mean, I think every society, every civilization evolves. And that was our natural evolution. I mean, we need to process things quicker because there's more going on. It's not the 50s anymore. I mean, look at the structures that we're putting up. You know, look at all of the infrastructure that we're laying. So, no, that's a natural evolution. But end-user technology, to me, is just for entertainment.
Are you hopeful for the future?
I am an optimist with pessimistic undertones. Am I hopeful for it? You have to be. You lose hope, you lose everything.
Do you love America?
I love my family. They're Americans. America's a ruthless place, man. Dog eat dog.
Has it gotten worse, or is that just a false perception?
People actually think it's gotten better, but it hasn't. You know, a lot of people say, you know, again, like with slavery and things of that nature, it's like, oh, you know, racism. Oh, it's gotten better. No, not really. Slavery was abolished in when? 1863. fast forward 100 years, 1963, we were doing the civil rights movement and all those things.
And now...
That's 100 years. That's nothing.
Yeah.
We're not far removed from when black people were in bracelets.
And do you, as an African-American fan, have a feeling like there are certain Caucasians that if they would, they'd flip it right back around? I mean,
that's
a hardcore question.
Yeah, but of course. Of course, I mean...
You feel a certain sense coming from the far right, that feeling of...
Oh, absolutely. But I believe some Democrats would want it as well.
You really do?
Oh, absolutely. And it's more of a nostalgic thing because they don't really understand the hardcore nature of chattel slavery. They don't understand it. They don't even, they probably don't even have the stomach for that. I mean, you would have to get someone like right now, just come, hey, you, come here. You take that person and you work for me. That's it. And I will beat the shit out of you. You, all your kids, I'll sell them off. I don't think they have the minerals for that nowadays. I mean, we're soft. We're more of a thinking culture, and they'll try to do the mental jujitsu instead of that hardcore mano a mano. They don't know about that shit. But again, those are different times. We were still mining the lands and doing all those things. Those days are gone. I mean, we had so much manufacturing equipment, it would cost them more for us to be on their plantation or something like that. You right?
Yeah, I mean...
So it's the nostalgic part of it.
Steadily, we're all being replaced.
Yeah, well, come on. I mean, again, technology.
Do you think in some sense, not in the sense of 1863, but sometimes I feel like we're all a little bit of slaves these days to the corporatocracy?
You look at them in the morning. Look at people in the morning walking to work. The zombies.
You can't really quit.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like we're being hurt. We're hurting ourselves. You know, we're getting on trains tight, getting off. And that's just here in New York. I mean, I've lived other places where it's not like that, but they're in their cars. They have the same routine. I like to call us indentured servants. I mean, that's just what we are. The fridge has to eat, bills have to get paid. So we have to get out here and work. But a lot of people don't understand that, you know, like I have kids. I don't want my kids to work for anyone. I would just want them to work on an idea.
What keeps us from all getting together and saying, to hell with this?
Oh.
It seems like people would have a tremendous amount of power if they could get it together before the cops become completely militarized.
Oh, the cops, I mean, come on. Now, that is more of a race issue.
And I don't feel it like...
I don't even explain. I don't even try to explain it to people. But I don't even try to explain it to people anymore. The black experience here in America. I can't. I'm not going to go through all that. I mean, because you won't really get it until you are that.
Are living.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can understand, okay, some injustices, but it can't be that bad.
And I can't even pay you lip service and say, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you understand to the best of your ability. But until you walk in, like, the Upper East Side, not bothering anyone, and some little old lady says, hey, this guy, I don't know about him. And then the cops come and stop, frisk, give me what do you got? What are you doing? What are you running your name? Sit down. I mean, I was attacked. I was attacked by three white guys. I beat the shit out of them. But I was attacked by three white guys.
I got to edit every time you swear. So.
Oh, my bad.
I want you to be real, though.
Okay, yeah. I trying to get into a cab. They said it was their cab. Get out of here. Cab's right here. I'm in it. He tried to grab me out. I pummeled them. But guess what? Cop saw. He came over, put me in cuffs, and sat me down. Okay?
He profiled you.
Yeah, these are three guys. I'm just one guy. If it wasn't for the cab driver who got out and said, no. They tried to attack him. I would have gone downtown.
And then he had to.
So
there was a witness.
It was a witness, right. So, but I'm saying that the first idea that he had was this one black guy is attacking three white guys. That doesn't even make sense, right?
No.
I don't have a weapon, nothing, you know. So the black experience is a whole other thing. I mean, it is what it is, man. I don't use that shit as a crutch. Too many of us do.
You don't seem like you hold a lot of prejudice yourself. I mean, I think
we all
do.
We're all prejudiced.
It doesn't take much to make it come to the surface.
Yeah, yeah, no. We're all prejudiced. There's a difference between prejudice and racism. We're all prejudiced. I see a kid out here with skinny jeans on and got a skateboard and whatever. I'm like, oh, this guy, you know.
You seem like an empathetic man. Can you look at a white person and go, well, that's how they were born. You know, that's just, none of us can...
No, we have, no.
We're just reacting to the life we were born into.
Yeah, I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, that's no, stop it. Stop it. No. We all have free will, and we have something called a mind.
Yeah.
We can do research. We can learn.
Where was I going with that? Did I show prejudice there?
Well, no. What you're saying is that a white man is born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and guess what? You know, he's been roll tied all his life, and he's seen how white people treat blacks. And he just goes and, well, no, then you're just mindless. You're not even a productive person. So get out of here. If you don't use your mind and learn and, as you say, empathize and not sympathize, but empathize with other people, what are you? What good are you? You're not even a person.
Who's your hero?
My grandmother's my biggest hero. She just passed last year, but...
Was your dad around when you grew up?
Nah.
Here's a question that people wonder about, so I'll just be honest. What is it about the African-American man that seems to make him more likely to leave the family structure?
Well,
doing that to him?
No.
Am I wrong?
Kind of. We're turning it around now. You have to understand, our experience was the black man and the black family was precious. It was a precious thing up until the end of the 60s. And when you start looking at it, that's when the whole integration came in. Before, we were on one side of tracks and you had the other side of tracks. We all had to stick together. We went and worked across the other side of tracks, and then we came back and we shared that info with all the people like, oh, listen, this is what's going on. And guess what? We had black businesses. We had beautiful, big black families. And everything was great. But then you got integration. Now, guess what? We can all go on the other side of tracks if we want to. And it was something we had never experienced before. Right? So then we started going over and staying over on the other side of tracks. Because we could. And then you have movies coming out like Shaft.
Superfly. Okay.
Now, everybody, instead of being a family man, it was cool to be a pimp. It was cool to be a hustler.
Because like anybody else, they want to emulate the movie stars.
So guess what? We started saying, you know what? I can do that. Now I have that opportunity. So they started leaving and being a pimp and being a hustler, having multiple women, because that's what they saw. That was the cool thing. So now did the movies make them do that? No, they did it on their own. But guess what? It was a whole different lane that's opened up now.
Did your dad do that?
Of course.
Do you know him now?
My father,
is he alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Do you have a relationship with him?
No. I tried at one point, but you know, I don't have people in my life that aren't thorough people. I don't care about what he did, right? You know, my mother passed. He left us with someone. Okay, cool. That's when I was
a kid.
You're
not mad at him?
No. I don't have time for that, but... And most people shouldn't. I mean, that's when you were a kid, right? When you're a child, other people have dominion over you. They control what you do. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want, right? I mean, you can't control me as an adult. You have no input... As I'm an adult.
Has adulthood given you more understanding of maybe why your dad was like he was?
No. Absolutely not. I mean...
He just did the wrong thing?
Yeah. I mean, listen. You make a mistake, that's fine. But guess what? We're all the architect of our own lives.
And responsible for our choices.
Our choices. We make them.
What would you tell President Obama if you had a moment of his time and he was interested in your thoughts?
Obama? I don't think I would have any advice for him because... The political animals out there are a whole nother breed. I have no experience with that.
You like the president?
I love it. I mean, I don't think he's followed through with all of his promises, but he's been handcuffed. I mean, I'm ready for him to go. You've done your two terms. You have Secret Service, your wife, your kids for the rest of your life. Go on the book circuit. Do like Clinton. Lecture. Get an organization, a nonprofit. Live the rest of your life. But as far as his effectiveness as the president, he can't be. Because the president is like... a CEO of an openly traded company. You have a board. Half of the board wants you to win. The other half wants you to lose. But you need a unanimous vote to get things done. The president has very little to do with the bills and things passed. A lot of people just don't understand how politics work. And when I was growing up, there was a commercial doing cartoons. And it was like, I'm just a bill. I'm only a bill. Back in the day. And it would tell you how a bill is created in the House, and then it gets passed and goes to the Senate, and then goes to the president for
approval.
Schoolhouse
Rock.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the president has nothing to do with what bills are initiated. And if he goes and uses executive power and says, you know what, I want to change this, they're going to try to filibuster it. There's been more filibuster hours within the presidency of this president than any other combined.
Does that frustrate you? People don't like to say it's racism, but is it?
Oh, come on. Of course it is. I mean, they try to paint it any way they want to. Stop it. In the history of the United States, no one man has ever jumped the gate at the White House, ran across the lawn, gotten into the East Room with a weapon.
Do you feel like they let that person in?
Come on.
I don't know. I mean...
You have to. I mean, if they did... Okay, again, why isn't he dead? That's shoot on sight. That's their orders. Shoot on sight. Why wasn't he shot? I don't, these are things that I don't know, but they're just a little fishy.
Let's look for your love side now, man. What's your message of peace and love to everybody listening to this radio show?
Oh, man, live your life. I'm with that Shawshank Redemption. You know what I mean? Get busy living or get busy dying. I mean, a lot of people out here handcuff themselves in life. Live. Live. I mean, you have bills, so what? Think of you on bills tomorrow. Relationships break. Okay. Just live. Don't worry about death. It's coming.
It is.
No one gets out of life without dying. So live your life. If you're not living, then you might as well be gone. Get out of here. You know, I'm not with that, you know, whole, like, love, peace, you know, and soul. Nah, just live your life however you want to do it. If you want to be a geek and you want to read 1,000 books, make sure you get 1,000 books and get them done. Have some dreams, and I think you'll be all right. But you got to have goals, though, because dreams without goals are just dreams.
I appreciate your time, man.
All right, brother.
All right. All the best to you.
All the best to you as well.
Strikes were launched from the air and the sea, missiles and precision-guided bombs from U.S. stealth bombers, stealth fighters, and armed drones pummeling 22 targets in Syria with 47 Tomahawk missiles fired from Navy warships in the Persian Gulf and Red Sea.
What's your first name?
Solomon.
Are you part of this presentation here?
Not really.
It's a kind of a Christian thing.
It's a Christian
talking
thing.
Talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
I wouldn't call myself a Christian in the traditional sense. I follow the teachings of Jesus rather than the death of Jesus as most Christians do.
What's the difference?
The difference is that many Christians worship his death on the cross rather than his actual teachings. Jesus, or Yeshua, was an amazing teacher who studied in India for many years, came back to the land of Israel, and was crucified for his teachings.
And do you think he was a man or a deity?
A man, absolutely.
You don't think he rose from the grave? And
many people rose from the grave. I mean, it was actually something quite common in the days because they did not have accurate medical ways of determining if someone actually was dead or not. It was mostly just a guesswork, and there was many accounts of people being buried, presumed dead, and then rising up afterwards because they were only in either deep coma or unconscious.
Do you feel like America has drifted away from the teachings of Jesus?
I don't think America was founded on the teachings of Jesus. I think it was founded on the teachings of freedom and liberty, and we're definitely drifting away from that.
You think a separation of church and state is important?
Absolutely. A government has no place telling people what they should believe and what they should worship, or even if they should believe anything at all.
What happens when you die?
The honest answer is I do not know. Neither does anyone else. And if anyone does claim to know what happens after they or anyone else dies, I will have to ask for their proof of the matter.
What about things like Ebola? Are they strictly biological, or do you think they could tie into, like, biblical prophecies of plagues and things like that?
Well, I don't think Ebola has yet become an actual plague. We're still waiting to see what happens.
Are you worried about that?
Not too worried. Science has been doing a very good job of keeping ahead of most dangerous viruses and bacteria.
What is your biggest concern in your personal life right now?
That's actually a good
money?
Question. Money is always a concern, but in my experience in the last year, money seems to come whenever it is needed.
Is that karma?
Karma is a simplified term for a very complex phenomenon.
It's of putting good energy out and receiving
yes.
it back?
Because, I mean, the principle of karma is very true, but people oversimplify it in thinking that it's a one-for-one ratio. It's not something exact, it's not something you can measure, but it is very obvious to anyone that even thinks about it that if you put good energy, if you try to put good things out there, good things will come back to you.
Where are you from?
Israel.
Do you love America?
Define America.
The United States?
Not so much, which is why I'm here in New York. I much prefer New York, because New York is much more of a globalist city. you get a lot more freedom here in New York to be yourself, to express yourself, to be with other like-minded people.
Do you have Palestinian friends?
Yes.
What about Netanyahu?
Not a big fan of him. He's a smart guy. He's very intelligent, but he's also a very big politician, so I can't trust a politician.
Will there ever come a day when peace is achieved between Palestine and
Absolutely, I hope so. It's been one of the longest wars in all of history, and many people associate it as being one of the most central conflicts in our world today. The original wars over the land of Israel and Palestine were not religious, but just territorial battles over control of the trade routes.
Does it bother you when Israel continues to build on the West Bank?
Building houses is not the problem. It's when you tear them down that is. There's never anything wrong with building new homes, with building new fields. When you build, you're creating something. When you tear down, you're destroying something.
Are you optimistic for the future of the world and mankind?
I like to think that we're headed in a good direction, yes.
What's your message of peace and love to our listeners today?
I have three messages. First one is to love thyself. Second is to be present and aware. And the third one is to always create positive energy.
They're not easy to achieve, are they?
Not all the time, but I think that when we keep to those three goals, to those three ideas, then things tend to go very well.
Thanks for your time, man.
Thank
you
very much.
All the best
to you.
Devadip Carlos Santana, Taraya, Alice Coltrane, Illuminations, title track, 74, I think. There's Fabio. I'm going to be on with Evan next Wednesday night. Tune in, you guys, during the Evan Funk Davies Show for a bit of an AM Gold duel between Evan and I. I'm very excited about it. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to play, and I hope you'll take the time to tune in. What's your first name?
Sarah.
Sarah, are you worried about Ebola?
Not really. For society, yeah, but not for myself. But then again, for society, I think that there are limiting factors for every population, and we're past our caring capacity, and so I'm not surprised that something
our
like this
Our caring capacity?
Yeah, carrying.
Oh, carrying.
Carrying.
What do you mean by that?
For every population of a species, it plateaus, and that's the carrying capacity that the ecosystem can support. And after that, typically diseases...
It's just nature's way?
Yeah, and I'd like to think that we have overcome that, but obviously we haven't, what with our environmental disasters we're facing. And so, you know, it's scary, it's terrible, it's tragic. I'm not surprised. I hope that we can solve it before too
many. Are you an environmentalist, would you say?
I would consider myself one, but I'm not an activist.
What keeps you from being an activist?
Time and appropriation of my resources.
Do things like fracking bother you?
Of course.
Do you get discouraged when things like that go ahead and it just seems purely monetary, like we can make money and we really...
I don't get discouraged. It makes me frustrated, but not surprised. I don't believe that humans as a collective species are... always altruistic, and so if somebody's going to go out there and make money on it, I wish and hope that somebody will go out there to try to put our greater needs first.
Are you optimistic about the future?
That's a hard question. It's a really hard question. No, I believe in E.O. Wilson's theory of the bottleneck and that we're going through right now, and that we'll probably lose about 2/3 of the population. What's left of our planet will be a vastly different climate, and we'll adapt to it, and hopefully after that things will get better, but I don't think that's possible.
Do you think you'll see it in your lifetime?
Yes, I do. I think around 2050.
Does it scare you?
No, not really.
Would it stop you from having a family?
No.
We just have to live in the time we live in and adapt to it?
Yeah, life is not... always a beautiful, happy thing, and that's just the way it is.
For young people, this is the only world they've ever known. They don't
maybe remember the good old days or whatever, and they just live in the now.
Right. I think my generation, no offense, but blames your generation for not being more aware or not. I mean, I guess the scientific research wasn't there with, you know, the pollutants and the consequences weren't right in your face. But ever since the Industrial Revolution, we've been damaging, killing our world. And
for profit?
For profit, for comfort. You know, the corporations are responsible for doing it for profit, but the individual is just as culpable for doing it for their own comfort. I've got to run.
Oh, I'm
though.
Sorry. Thanks for your time. I'll give you a card. Okay. Appreciate your thoughts.
It's good that you're doing this. Hopefully you can get messages out there.
Thank you very much.
So I appreciate people like you taking
tomorrow
the time.
Tomorrow night at 6.
Okay.
George Benete. It's got an E on the end. Bethany would know. I love his pianistic stylings. Thank you, V. Priceless, for reminding me this would have been John Lennon's 74th. I wonder what role he would have played in these modern times. Sure missed in New York City. Around the world. Yoko's still here though. Paul, Ringo. What's your first name?
My name is TK.
TK, are you from New York originally?
No.
Where are you from?
Albania.
Albania? How long have you been in the States?
About 9 years.
Have you had a job here in the United States?
No.
And I see you're setting up some cardboard to get some sleep, and you got your suitcase. Are you homeless?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been homeless?
Since Sandy.
Since Hurricane Sandy? Were you living in Jersey at that time?
No. I was in Brooklyn, Brighton Beach.
And you had a home at that time?
Yep, I was in my father's old house.
And it got wiped out? What happened to your dad?
My father passed away in 2010.
Did that have a big effect on you?
Any death would have an effect on anybody.
Are you trying to seek work now?
Yeah, I have to work all the books because of immigration.
Because you're from Albania?
No, because I was deported. And now they're not trying to give me a damn thing.
You were deported?
Twice.
Why did they do it?
I wasn't always a humble person.
What does that mean?
I was deported for 4 counts of murder.
You were?
Now I'm trying to better my life.
Have you been in prison?
Yes, I have.
How long have you been out?
About 4 years.
How long were you in?
About 2, then I was deported.
Did you do the crime?
Yeah.
Does that bother you, or did you feel justified?
It doesn't make me any difference either way.
It just happened?
She intends to do so.
Do you have hope for the future?
Yeah, I hope to get the fuck off the streets and have a family.
You want to have a family?
For the second time, I had one already.
You have kids somewhere?
I have a daughter.
Do you still have a relationship?
Yeah.
Are you bitter about what's happened to you?
No, it's just not easy. It's aggravating. I refuse to seek help with these little agencies out here because they can't do shit for me, but aggravate me.
How do they aggravate you?
The same questions over and over again. You give an answer, they ask it again. Try and get a different answer. They ask it verbally differently. You know, reverse psychiatry and inner psychological questioning is a common thing to me.
Do you feel like you learned anything in prison?
Yeah, not to kill anybody again. Try not to anyway.
How old are you now?
I'm about to be 35. November.
Do you like the United States?
No.
What bothers you?
They want to deport me, but they won't let me leave on my own. I'll gladly leave and never come back. They want to do it on their terms.
Do you miss Albania?
I haven't seen Albania since I left the first time. They deported me back to my father's country. That's my own. I'm an exile of my country.
What's your dream for the future?
I guess to get with this woman I'm talking to, and hopefully maybe start a life together, maybe move in with her. develop a trust and a job.
Do you think you're a good person?
I know I am. I have people around me that have their doubts, but I could care less what other people think.
Do you have any advice for young people?
Start doing dumb shit. Get your head out your ass and go to school. Take up martial arts. Learn how to live as a real man, not as a boy the rest of your life.
What is a real man to you?
Works, respects people, has dignity, self-respect.
Even though you're in this situation that you're in right now, do you have self-respect now?
If I didn't, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
It's not easy.
I would have hung it up somewhere. I don't think anybody can handle the shit I've been through. Trust me.
Have you been to shelters? I don't hear a lot of good things about shelters from homeless.
There ain't nothing good about them. Rape, staff, harassment. I look at shelters as an extra jail. That's society's way of jailing you. At the same time, the streets is a prison itself. You have cops all around you, trying to lock you up for random things. I mean, I've gained the respect with the police in the city, as for the most part. I'm the type of person, with my training for martial arts and military, if a cop needs my assistance as a civilian, I wouldn't hesitate.
Are you a veteran?
Yes, I am.
What U.S. What branch? Oh,
in the U.S.
Who did you fight for?
Russia. I was a mercenary for 9 years.
Even though you're homeless, do you pay attention to the news?
Yeah, on my phone.
What do you think about ISIS and our involvement in the Middle East?
That's a very touchy subject for most people. I just tend to laugh at it because most people do not realize that ISIS is Al-Qaeda, is Taliban. It's the same f***ing group. They just renamed themselves. They've been watching the U.S. for the last 30 years. Well, I think Obama said on a national statement, I underestimated ISIS's power. Yeah, you did. So did Bush, so did Clinton, so did Bush Sr. They all did.
Should we just get out over there?
Just leave them the fuck alone. You wage war in your own country on 9/11 and blame it on a country that's never done nothing to you. Now you expect them not to retaliate?
You think 9/11 was an inside job?
I know it was. I was better than 9/11 for 2 weeks.
You were?
I was better than 9/11 for 2 weeks. Being a foreign vet, I'm not a stranger to society and how shit goes.
What's your message of peace and love to the world, man? I mean, you're an ex-con. You admitted to these crimes, but I sense that you're a pretty nice guy somewhere in there.
I'm a nice guy all around. I'm your natural Albanian. I'm your best friend till you cross me.
I appreciate your time today, man.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
There are a dozen Democratic-held seats in red or purple states. All Republicans have to do is hold Georgia and Kentucky, which I think they will, and then win half of those dozen seats, and they take control of the Senate.
I thought about us for a long time.
Todd Rundgren, man. Sounding good.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. As you can see, I don't really know the song too well.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I got to get
over it. Maybe I think too much, but something is wrong.
It's a beautiful song.
Great song, huh?
Damn, man. They don't make music like that. Carol King. Too late, baby.
You like that old 70s?
I love everything, you know. I mean, I could go back to the 60s. I love you more today than yesterday.
Spiral Staircase. That's the first concert I ever saw. They opened for Creedence Clearwater. I saw that show.
Oh, yeah.
I love you more today than yesterday.
That's a
great song.
Yeah. I had about 10 different versions of that song in jazz, jazz musician. I listen to everything, man. It's just, I don't know. It's what the mood calls for, you know?
What makes you want to come out and play for the people? Just the money?
No. It's that I love playing music. You know? It's not just the money, but to make money doing something you love. I'm enjoying doing it.
Is it spiritual for you?
Yeah, music is something that makes you feel good inside. You never hear a song and you just feel good. If you go in and you hear that Todd Rundgren playing now, it makes you feel good inside. You want to sing. So when you're doing it yourself, you're feeling good and you're making money, what could be better?
Making people happy.
Yeah, and you're making people happy. And when they come over and they show that they really appreciate what you're doing, it makes you even more happy. So it's,
what's your message of peace and love to the world?
Yeah, man, yeah. Yeah, that's why I got this song. Yeah, man.
That's a good falsetto.
Yeah, that's my song. I shouldn't have let you record it. Somebody might steal it.
I won't steal it, man. No, but you should do your own music.
Huh?
You should do that. Here's my card, man.
Thank you, man. Oh, what do you do?
All the best. I do a radio show on Thursdays, WFMU.
Which one is that?
91.1, Jersey City.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man. I haven't listened to the radio a lot because of my situation. God bless you, man. But... I love the radio, man. What kind of you play music?
Yeah.
What do you play?
All different kinds, all kinds. Good songs.
You here in New York?
Yeah. Jersey City.
Oh, I would have known your program. It's just that I moved from where I used to be, and I haven't been listening to the radio. But I used to listen to the radio a lot.
Where were you before?
Oh, I was in the Bronx, but my living arrangement has changed so much.
You got a roof over your head, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I got to be out here trying to make something.
I got to run home and put this show together.
Okay, man.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Oh, I love the radio, man. Yeah, nice meeting you.
You too.
Thanks to all my interview guests this week. Thanks to you, listeners. Thanks, AccuPlaylist commenters, you know. I love to read your comments. You can write me too, dusty@wfmu.org. And on social media, God, just feels gross. Why? Facebook, Twitter, you'll find me. Please do. This is Return to Forever from 73. Always remember. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Solid gold with a TNP coming up. A heaping, helping of Hardy White just moments away. Miracle Nutrition, it sounds like it's going to be a good one.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with I'm Hardy White. Join me right now. We will have a good time together. And please come with me to my neighborhood. What kind of neighbor are you? What kind? Oh, my friend, welcome. This is my neighborhood. We live in concentric circles of nested neighborhoods. Where we live among our friends is one neighborhood. Our actual neighborhood with houses is another neighborhood. Our solar system is a neighborhood. Our place in the universe is a neighborhood. These rings of neighborhoods continue out. They also continue infinitely in to one central neighborhood. Downtown, you. And that's where I'd like to go with you today. Because I have a little house there, a little pied de terre that I have erected in downtown U. I am sorry, I did not get your permission. I didn't think it was necessary. It was built out of the materials that you provided. Remember, we worked on it together. Come along, won't you? There's some friends I want you to meet. And I'm going to be the one who causes you to greet some people that you never thought you'd meet in the street that is your discreet... Hey, stop it, Hardy. Just speak to me regularly. You're bothering me. Listen, today we're going to do something, a kind of opera. Because I want to introduce children to the performing arts, which are everywhere. And it's how we communicate. One. Once upon a time, there was a little village where a fella named Hardy White became fully aware. I became fully aware in a small village in my head where I used to while away the days as a child eating brain apples and fishing in my brain river. And then I'd throw the fish back, but it was too late, they'd die, and the dead fish raised up a stink. And that is my pathology. We all have a river of dead fish in our brains, don't we? Some of us do not. Some of us, our brains are on ocean front, and they have different problems altogether. Like Manatee War creatures. I won't scare you, I'm not going to talk about it, but imagine one of them 10-quart baggies, Ziploc baggies, the kind that you'd put a pastrami in, if you were inclined to make one. Imagine that filled with poison. What kind of neighborhood are we in right now, Hardy? Well, right now, we're all alone in our neighborhood. But if you come into this clearing, you will... suddenly see that some of the things that you thought were trees are really houses, are really buildings, are really homes to the magical creatures who inhabit this place. And what do you call it, my friend? I call it the land of your prefrontal cortex area. It's comprised of memories and puppets. A puppet once came to this clearing alone. He had a sword in one hand and in the other a bone. And he put them together and he said this would make a good logo. Logo, did somebody call? Then Logo came out of the woods and said, I'm the one you seek, I will help you, my friend. I'm the one you want to make this with. We will be a neighborhood of friends, comrades, associates, family. Family. But then, as we all know, things break down. Just as you start to see patterns, just as things start to go well, just as every day seems to be getting better and better, you're liking your job. You're liking your daily chores. And then everything changes. Just as you get used to it. When I first met my friends here,
they frightened me a little bit. I wasn't used to people being just concepts, you know, or just consisting of mere wordplay. I was used to people with bones, with skeletons and muscles and skin and blood, who had separate experiences from my own. I wasn't used to beings that had been living in my head and sharing some of my experiences, but not all. And so when I was first cast into that space, I went to the head of it, who lives in a castle right downtown, and now it's a veteran's home, but she still lives there. And who am I talking about? None other than the Queen, King Friday Gertrude Stein. Thintillate, 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 would he like it? If he thintillate, would he like it? Would he like it? Would he scintillate, scintillate, diminutive stellar? Would he be stellar? Would he be stellar? Would he be scintillating, scintillating, stellar, 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 scintillating? Would he, would he, would he, would he? I didn't know what to say. I was caught off guard. I'd never heard anybody talk like that before. Your manner of speech is very confusing to me, Your Majesty, I said to the great King Queen. And he said back to me, what type of bird is your favorite type of bird? I didn't know what to say to this. And so I said the only thing I could think of at that moment. I said, scintillate, scintillate, scintillate. And he looked back at me and said, precisely, continue. And I thanked him. I thank you for your blessing, my king, my queen, my friend. Because he was a friend to me at that moment. Even though a king and kingly, I was pretty sure that it was just a confused older person, because I'm telling you, the castle was a retirement home, and perhaps that individual was merely deceived. I had to begin to accept that if I was going to begin to accept that other people outside of me were going to be different and strange, that maybe the people inside of me are going to be different and strange as I meet them. And who are they?
It's me.
Who's that, little friend?
It's me living in a tree.
It is. It's Daniel Stripe and Eric Dolphy.
That's right. And I've come to listen to the birds.
And the birds give Daniel Stripe and Eric Dolphy music lessons. Every day after school, he would sit outside on the branch of his family's tree and listen to the birds as they talked back and forth. But you know, they weren't talking, they weren't really communicating, because some of the birds were different species and didn't even know what some of them were saying. Some other birds were just imitating sounds that they heard, like car alarms or jingles.